James 1:22. It's another one of these Church Unusual Living by the Book hybrid classes. Put them together. Let's do this. Father, thank you. We appreciate you for everything you've done already. Now help us work in Jesus' name, amen. James 1, verse 22. You don't have to read it right now. I know it's a lot of our favorites. There's a story I have from when I was younger. I might have been maybe 8 or 9 years old. I was playing a bitty basketball, City League basketball, you know, in the league. And I was blessed to be on a team. We won the championship that year. So when you win the championship, they do a banquet at the end of the year for all the kids, and we do it right there at the Civic Center in Gonzales. I'll never forget it. You know, the winner of the season get these jackets with their names on them, whatever, and we get a little trophy. So I'll never forget, we had a big banquet. And so everybody comes out, all the parents, neighborhood, everybody come out. So everybody knew who I was. They knew I was the preacher's son. You know, I was Pastor Thompson's son. So they knew who I was. So when they're doing the lineup and doing the program, they put me up for the invocation. I know what the invocation is, right? The prayer at the beginning, right? They put my name on the list for the prayer at the beginning. I don't know what the invocation is. I don't know what it is to the first. I'm a little 8-year-old boy, so I'm just, yeah, it don't matter to me. Okay, yeah, put me down for the invocation. So we get there that night, and the room is packed. I mean, it's everybody, all the teams. I mean, my age group is, I think, 8 and 9, but you got the 9 and 10-year-olds, 11 and 12-year-olds. You got some of the older boys. So it's all the championship teams, and all the teams are here. All the parents, all my friends from school. I had just switched schools. I went from Dutchtown to Gonzales, Minnesota. I was hanging with the boys from Gonzales. So everybody's there. It's packed. The whole Civic Center is packed. We just running around, playing, having a good time. All my friends are there. We running all around outside, having a good time. Everything is all good. We're just running around, having a good time. Everything is all good. Until they get close to time. And then they say, all right, we're about to start in 2 minutes. So now they calm everybody down, make them come to their seats. And they tell me it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go do the invocation. Now, I ain't never prayed like in front of nobody. That's a bunch of people. So now immediately Montrell gets nervous. I was good before. I was cool running around with my friends. Everything was all good. It's time for me to go. So now I'm about to cry. I'm sitting there telling my dad and my mom right now, I'm about to cry. I'm like, Lord, what I'm going to do with my friends here? I don't know what to say. And we wasn't having no written prayers. That ain't how we did it in the Thompson household. You better know how to talk to God. Ain't no written, what you going to write a prayer? Ain't no written prayers. You know, people hold a folded paper and read a prayer. Ain't no written prayers. You better talk to your God, right? So I'm nervous now. All my friends, they looking at me. Oh, I don't know, man. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. So I'm talking to my mom. Now, I knew the whole time, but I don't want to go now. And I look at my mom. I took it to my dad, and I say, watch this. I said, this is a statement I'm going to use now. I said, you do it. Because I knew you could pray. You pray better than me. You do it. I look at him and say, you do it. And I thought it was going to work. He said, no, you're going to get your tail up there, and you're going to pray. And with tears and anguish, I went up. I have no idea what I said. I don't remember the prayer to this day. But we made it. All I remember saying is, amen. I don't know if anybody got blessed or I don't know what happened. All I know I said, amen, and I finished it. But he made me go. It's one of those things that I'll never forget. It stuck with me for my whole life. Because I turned around and I said, you do it. He said, nah, you going to do it. This is what you signed up for. Your name is right there. You got the ability to do it. You do it. I'm going to tell y'all tonight, you do it. James chapter 1, verse 22. I got a few scriptures I want to go to. I realized something, and this is people don't like to talk about this a lot. I know people have a problem because everybody wants to bypass the man of God for God. Everybody wants to bypass the child of God to get to God, right? Everybody wants to do that. Nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to go through anybody. Everybody wants to go up there yourself. Sometimes that traffic way is too hype for you. You need somebody that's been up there and been in that thick air a little bit to kind of show you how it goes. I found out something that, as we're going to read in Ephesians 4, and it says the grace is administered by the gifts. So we just don't get grace in the sky. This is a little deep, but it's not Sunday school class. We don't get grace in the sky just because you want to just get grace. No, grace is administered by the gifts. All right? You need a man of God. You need a man. It's gonna need some flesh and blood to administer what's going on. Alright? You don't even know how to love, or you can't even learn how to love unless you're learning from a man. Scripture says, I ain't got time to go there. Scripture says, how you gonna love God who you can't see, and you can't love your brother who you can see? You see what I'm talking about? Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So I think as children of God, and as men and women of God, I think it's been a cop-out on our behalf. I think it's been, and we're going to read a few scriptures. I think it's been us as the church. I think it's been a cop-out on our behalf because we want God to do so much that he's enabled us to do. Wow. We're going to go, we look at scriptures. What's been going on is come here, Caleb. Come here. What's been going on? This is what's been going on. Stand here, Dante. Stand here, Caleb. And what's been going on is, I'm just going to break this down to you real quick. What's been going on is God is over here. Here's me as the child of God, and here's the person that need to see God. But what we've been doing, we've been copping out. I'm going to show you how we've been copping out. We do this. God got on me yesterday. He got on me yesterday about it. Real strong. It's not a new message, but it's something that you need to hear. He got on me real strong because what we're doing, we've been copping out. Now, Caleb needs to see God, right? But we know in the Bible that God don't show his face to nobody. Right? Y'all know when he talked to Moses, he showed his hinder part. And the reason that he did that, because if God shows his face, the glory will be so strong that you and that human body will die. I mean, when I was little, my brother, I was trying to do, we all did the one up. My brother say, I saw an angel. He saw an angel in the room one time, so I felt played. I wanted to see somebody too, right? And then he said he saw the Holy Spirit. And I said, nah, you can't be seeing. He saw the Holy Spirit at a Disney parade. I said, you can't be seeing everybody now. Hold up. Right? So then, and then he told me, so I came in. And then he said he saw Jesus. My older brother. He said he saw all those things. I said, all right, I got you. You saw an angel. You saw the Holy Spirit. You saw Jesus. I got you. I walked in the room. Hey, Dad, I saw God. I thought I won. I was like, and I'm looking back to my eyes. I saw God. I ain't seen nothing, right? I'm clearly because I'm still living, right? He said, so you saw God, huh? I said, yep, I saw him. He was in my room just now. He said, you know, any man that said he saw God, dead. I said, I ain't seen him, sir. I ain't see nothing. I don't know. Who is God? I don't even know who that is, right? Right. See, you can't, if God was going to do it that way, he'd have done it that way. He'd have cracked the sky open, but it'd been a mass murder. He ain't going to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So now here's God, and here's the man that need to see God, and what we've been trying to do is like, hey, the Bible says this and this and this, so there he is. But he ain't gonna never get to him. He ain't gonna never make it to God because he's gonna need a connection to God. Listen to me. Listen, all right, y'all listen to me well. Listen to me well. He's gonna need somebody to enter. That's what interceding is. Interceding means this. This is interceding. Standing in the gap. You know, Jesus is doing this for us right now. You're just a handhold away from some foolishness. But we've been copping out. We've been copping out. We haven't been taking on. We haven't been taking on. Go ahead. We haven't been taking on. Thank you. We haven't been taking on the responsibility. I'll go over and over. James 1:22. Now, I'll start here. We're going to jump to another scripture. Go to John chapter 14. We'll come back to James. John chapter 14. I'm going to read these red words first. These red words have power in them, don't they? You know what I mean? I said these red words, huh?
Yes, sir.
In John chapter 14, verse 9, Philip said, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Because he won't see God. Y'all see it now? Huh? Won't see God, huh? Show us the Father. And it suffices. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Uh-oh. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? In other words, you ain't been looking? You ain't been paying attention to what's going on? How long you been with me, Philip? We've been here all these years, and now you're going to ask me to show you the Father. You ain't seen him already? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Jesus asking him questions, now putting him on the spot. You don't believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you are not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. What it say? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else for the very work's sake. In other words, if you don't believe it because I'm saying it, did you see what I did? Did you see when I spoke to it and it had to answer me? Did you not see? And I don't know what lineage this is in the Bible, but all these things can go to play. Did you not see when I broke the bread and they kept on multiplying? Oh, let's go to the first miracle. Did you not see when the wine kept on coming? If you don't believe that I'm saying it, believe it for my works. Uh-oh. If you don't believe what I'm saying, believe it because of my works. If you don't believe because I'm saying it, believe it because of my... If you don't believe, you know, we're witnessing, right? We be witnessing to people, huh? Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is what you need, right? Well, if you don't believe it because a lot of people don't believe what you're saying. If you don't believe it because I'm saying it, believe it for the works. But now, do they see works? Are they seeing work coming out? Because that's your witness. You know, when you witness something, you've seen something. If they call you to court to be a witness, that means you actually saw it happen. That's your witness. If you don't believe what I'm saying, believe me for the works. Verse 12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, uh-oh, how many of y'all believe on Jesus? Come on, I can't hear you now. Come on, because I'm about to put you on the spot. How many of y'all believe in Jesus, all right? He that believeth on me, uh-oh. Y'all read the rest of that? Ready, read? Verse 13, read.
And whatsoever
you
shall
ask in my name, that will I do. That's what I may be glorified. Verse 14.
If you shall ask
anything
in my name, I will do.
If you believe on me, how many of y'all believe on Jesus? You sure?
All right.
So, all right. So now we got an assignment now. Because he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And then greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. What he's saying is, when I go to my Father, I've opened up the floodgates for all y'all to do what I do. There's a statement God gave me the other day. You know, it's already done, right? It's already done. But to receive what Jesus already done, you got to do what Jesus did. Come on, write it down. That's a deep one. That's one that's worth meditating later. All right, that's. I'll tell you which ones you need to write down. Go ahead. If I'm going to receive what Jesus has already done, I've got to do what Jesus did. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And it says greater works because I go unto my Father. See, the greater works means there's more of us doing that type of work. And when Jesus was down here, I can imagine him being a lonely man because he was on his lonesome. Doggone disciples didn't understand. Just now, he getting on Philip. Right? Jesus preached a masterpiece about the kingdom of God one time. And they say, well, how are we going to know what is the kingdom of God? I just finished preaching you about the kingdom of God. And now he goes back and says the same parable over again a different way. I can imagine Jesus trying to figure out, how long I'm going to be with y'all? You don't get it yet? When they start getting all appalled and all excited because he cursed the tree and walked off, then they came back, the tree was dead. What you thought was going to happen? I can imagine him being somewhere else ahead of his time almost. You feel me? Like he's almost like they don't even understand who I am, why I'm here. So the works that I do, shall you do also in greater works than these because I go to my Father. I mean, y'all going to have the same access to do the works. And he says this. He said, you're going to do the works. But then he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Uh-oh. Yes. So he said, the works, you're going to do the work. But he said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, everybody say my name.
My name.
I will do it. Now listen, my name, everybody say name.
Name,
I said this in my last class, I always say this, I like to clarify it. When you say name, we go screaming the name of Jesus, and sometimes stuff don't happen. Can we be honest? Can I get amen? Sometimes you prayed in the name of Jesus before, and ain't nothing pop off. Don't lie to me right now, you prayed and said in the name of Jesus, and you point your finger and ain't nothing happen. Well, something wrong with the name of Jesus? No. But maybe the Bible says, in all thou get and get what? Understanding. Right? Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth freely and upbraideth not. See, sometimes we don't understand what's really being said, and we don't understand what we really have. We don't really understand what's really being said about a lot of things because religion has told us something, and we just stuck with that. When there's a name, there's a name. Everybody say name. See, my name, I'm a Thompson. My name is my character. There's a character that comes along with my name. There's a thing that I carry when I walk into the room and I say I'm a Thompson. When I was in school, they say you look like the preacher now. You like the pastor. You pass Thompson, son? Yeah. So now there's a different flow. Some feel some kind of way. Some feel another way. But there's a character that goes along with my name. Some places I can walk in and do whatever I want because I'm a Thompson. There's some other places I can walk in and you know I got a bunch of Thompsons in my family. Some people have had a bad experience with some Thompsons. So I walk in and then now there's a character that came along. With my name, in my name, if you ask anything in my name, what he's saying is, if you ask anything in my character. Yeah. Learn it from my older brother, God bless Leroy Jr. He's talking about his character. So now if you say anything, you ask anything in my character, what's his character? Well, the character says, Jesus says, I only do what my Father tells me to do. Me and my Father are one. I don't make any moves. As he speak, I judge. Right? I don't do nothing else. Why y'all with me, right? But if I ask anything in his name, in his character, in the meekness that Jesus was, Jesus realized, you know, I don't get ahead of myself. The scripture says, let this mind be yours also in Christ Jesus, right? Philippians 2:5, right? They start talking about who Jesus starts talking about what this mind is. He says, who thought it not robbery would be equal with God? In other words, he knew who he was. He knew it wasn't robbery for him to say he was equal with God. He knew it wasn't a bad thing because he knew exactly who he was. But it says, but made himself of no reputation and formed himself in the form of a man. Right. And then he said he was obedient. Even to the death of the cross. And I'm paraphrasing. He said I was obedient, but he knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who he was. There's a false humility going around in the church. And the enemy's okay with it. Well, you know, you got to, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says you are God's. Little G. We get nervous about that. Because, you get to start thinking you God. You know, you got a beginning and you know, you got an end, don't you? You know, you didn't wake yourself up this morning, right? You know you're not the Alpha and Omega. You know you're not the star. You're not the rise of the sun. You ain't never lifted up a sun. You don't know you ain't none of that. So you already know you a little You already know that you're depending on something bigger than you, don't you? So don't get ahead of yourself. But we get so afraid to be who we are that we shrink back into who we aren't. Jesus knew who he was, but he still humbled himself because he knew as a man, I'm not the Alpha and Omega right now. He knew I was born one day and one day I got to
die.
Wow. Wow. But he knew who he was. Then that same one that knew who he was, the works that I do, you gonna do them. You do it. Jump back to verse 10, believe thou that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak are not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. And what's that last line? Philippians. Flip over Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And these scriptures, y'all know these scriptures, but it do some meditation because I know it do some meditation because we're not seeing enough change. I know a lot of these scriptures will do a whole lot. You can quote them with me, but a lot of these scriptures will do a whole lot more meditation for you to really see who they're telling you to be because we're not seeing enough change in our surroundings. Come on, let's be honest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Philippians chapter 2. You remember me say the Father do the work. He do it the work, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. You there? If you don't say amen.
Amen,
read it. Ready, read. All right, read it again. Go ahead, read it again. Read it again. Ready, read. Go ahead, read. Look at it and read it. Read it. Go ahead. Ready, read. Pause. Let's think about that for a minute. It's God who worketh in you. See, the theme in the Bible is a resounding theme. It's a resounding, he's trying to pound it in your head who you are. He keeps trying to pound it in your head, number one, how much I love you. How much I love you regardless of the mistakes you made or who you think you, this is the stuff that you don't decide to do. I still love you just as much, right? And then I've sent my son to die for you because I love you. But not only to die for you, but to show you. I know it just wasn't to die for you. If that's the case, he'd have sent him down here as a 30-year-old man and let him die. Right. But he sent him down here as a you know, there's principle in Jesus. You know, Jesus was 12 years old. Remember his mama said, where you at? We've been looking at you all day. Yeah, Jesus is about to go off in ministry.
Right.
There's so many preachers like that. Wow. So many preachers about trying to get it started. You got a little bit under your belt, but you ain't got enough. You got a little bit under there, but you ain't got enough. To finish the course. Wow. His mother said, come on back. Come on. Woman, I got my father, you better bring your tail on until the time appointed. You know, when he got baptized, the sky opened up and God said, here's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, he must have been well pleased because something must have been done. This is my son that prepared himself. God is in you. The resounding theme. Read the scripture again. Read it. Ready, read.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do.
First John 4:4 is our favorite, huh? Ye are of God, little children. Where you from? I don't care. Don't name your city. I don't want your city. I'm from God's, but no, you're not. You're from God. Ye are of God, from God. Ye are of God. This is where you came from. You came from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is
in you
than he that is in the world. He that is in the world. Well, who is that? It's everybody else that ain't God in you. You're greater than that. You just don't know. You just don't know how great you are. Right? And so we settle for things in life and we settle for different circumstances and we settle for shortcomings and we settle for lack and we settle for all these things the enemy to fool us to make us think that we're being humble, but we're not being humble. We're being stupid and we're not standing up to who we are. God worketh in you. Greater is he that is in you. I mean, that's specific. That ain't, I got to figure that out. What you mean? No, it ain't no deep interpretation, is there? Oh, I got to see what he really means. He in you. Look at me. He working in you. He right there in you, ready to work. Be it into your car, into your faith, though. Now, he can be in there all day long, ready to work, but if you don't know that he's ready, then it can't work. I don't realize how powerful that statement is. The apostle made the statement. He said, it's grace and faith. You're saved by grace through faith. You need grace and you need faith. You can't just have faith and try to work that out, because without grace, faith ain't nothing. But without faith, grace ain't nothing. Do y'all realize how the amazing grace is nothing to you without your faith? So that means all that power, you mean to tell me all that power is in me? You mean to tell me I got all that? You mean God is right there in me ready to work? You mean to tell me it's right there on the inside of me ready to work? Why it ain't working? Because you ain't working it. Because you don't even know who you are. So your meditation, your prayer, that's what's trying to tell you who you are. It's almost like you're reading your own script to find out who you really are. So now we have personality traits and we have things that we don't like. Amen, right? Amen. Right? We got things that we want to get over and habits and things we want to bypass. Sometimes we're fearful about things. And sometimes we have anxiety sometimes about things. And see, that's not in your script. That's not in the script about who you are. If you read the word and you meditate it now, you're really reading who you are. You're reading who you were made to be. Now you're not doing this for the preacher no more. Or you're not doing this to be holy anymore, right? Right, right? Or you're not doing it trying to prove something to God. God already knows what's popping. He already knows what's going on. He already knows what he set up. You reading it to figure out what he's saying. Because you don't know who you are. You do it. You do it. I was listening to Mark 11. You do it. You do it. Let me see the number. I'm looking for his other scripture, Mark 11. Go to Matthew 17. Let's read that first different account. Matthew 17, and we go back to Mark 11. I'll make sure I touch on all these things. Matthew chapter 17. Every time I read something in the Bible, man, it tripped me out, because I swear it'd be stuff that I done read already, but then I ain't see that. And he'd be like, how did I miss that? How did I look over that? And it just jumped out to me. But how did I miss that? I missed it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, well, if we go back, you know, a little bit earlier, you know, they were trying to cast out a devil. And they couldn't do it. Verse 18, here comes Jesus. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples and Jesus apart. So in other words, they pulled him to the side, because the preachers ain't want the people to know they ain't have no power. They pulled Jesus to the side. They ain't say that I'm poking. Jesus, pull him apart. Y'all see it? He pulled him aside and said, Jesus, why we couldn't cast him out, Jesus? Why it ain't work for us? Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief. Well, that's good right there. He didn't have to say anything else. That was it. Why it didn't work, Jesus? Because you don't believe. You've seen all this stuff, but you still don't believe. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I don't know if you ever seen a mustard seed. Anybody ever seen a mustard seed before? Like a mustard seed, like if I take a picture, it's a really small seed. It's one of the smallest. You have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You shall say to this mountain, what? To this what? Whoa. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And what?
Nothing.
Shall be impossible if you believe. All things are possible to him that believe. It's a resounding theme. So how are we skipping over that? How are we having all these impossibilities? How are we living life and dwelling with these impossibilities? How are we not bigger than what we are?
How is not more going on in our lives? If you give it faith as a grain of mustard seed, this, you can say to this mountain, get up, move over there, and the mountain gonna move. And then nothing, not only the mountain, but nothing shall be impossible to you. The next verse says what though? Oh, but this kind, you know what he's talking about? This kind, that kind of person. They got that faith right there. They don't go out but by prayer and fasting. They don't go out but by some focus and some dedication. This kind right there. Now you got to figure out what kind you're trying to be. The Lord told me the other day, and you better scream and make sure this ain't you. But the Lord told me, Montrell, you need to calm down. He said, preach my word and preach my gospel, but you can't make nobody be nothing. Because I'm the type of person, I can't, when you told me there's 100-fold available, I'm not cool with 99. I'm shooting for 100 all day long. I might not catch it, but you better believe I'm going to be up there. You know, I might not make 100 on the test, but I'm going to make a 90 something. I'm going to shoot. I can't live like that. I don't know how people do it. I can't live that way. If God said 100 folds provided, what are we talking about? Why are we even discussing the other folds? If God said 100 is available, that's why people feel the Holy Ghost. If God said the Holy Ghost is there for you, I don't know why you don't want it. If God said 100 fold, then there we go. I'm not trying to be a 30. But God said, you know, Macho, calm down. He said, you're gonna kill yourself. Trying to make somebody be something because they got to be it in them under their faith. He said, some people are going to end up being 30. I wonder right now what you're going to be. I wonder where you at right now. All right. I wonder what you going to decide to be. You don't have to be a 30. God already wrote the plans that I got for you. You're not destined to be a 30 or a 60. You can be, but it depends. Be it to you according to your. These kind only go out by praying and fasting. Now, don't go start a fast tomorrow and say you're not eating nothing, because you know what fasting really is, right? You know, at that time, they didn't have all the things that we have. There wasn't no TVs and no phones, no social networks and no shows and no songs and all these different things. It wasn't all. They had something, but it wasn't all those things. You know, sometimes you need to fast from all these things to take. You know what fasting is for, huh? You know, fasting don't make it happen. People used to think that you fast and now you're going to get your answer quick. Well, the only reason you get your answer quick is because you're clearer. Right. You get your answer clearer because you didn't clear all that clutter out. All that foolishness is blocking your faith. All that foolishness that got you looking, being double-minded and looking everywhere but being focused on Jesus. That's what fasting, yeah. These kind, they're going to go out. But by prayer and fasting. In other words, there's some dedication. Some next level. We in training center, ain't we? Yes, are we not in regular service? Are we in training center, ain't it? This extension training in the word. Huh? These kind only go out. What kind are you going to be when you go out? These kind only go out by prayer and fasting. By dedicating to the mission, by dedicating to the scripture, by dedicating and really studying the scripture above all else. These kind, but you can move mountains. Everybody wants to move a mountain, right? Sometimes you got a mountain in your life right now that needs to be moved today. Amen. You can move it. Why we couldn't cast them out? Because of your unbelief. Shall be this kind. Go not out, but by prayer and fasting. Mark 11. There's a story. What time is class in? That's all right. I'm about to go for 13 minutes. Listen, there's a story I heard Brother Hagin say, and I heard my father say it sometime, and then I heard Brother Hagin actually say it out of his mouth. He's in his room one time, and some of y'all may have heard the story before, and he's in this meeting, he's trying to minister to these people, minister to these lay hands on people. And he said there was a demon in the back of the room, just yah, 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 yah. Yeah. Just making a bunch of noise. The demons, he's in the room. He knew he was in there. Yeah. So he's over there trying to minister to the person. And he's ministering to the person. And demon over there yelling. He's getting his head. He confused. He say, God, you don't see what I'm doing? You don't see I'm trying to minister to the people? Make them stop. He said, you do it. I feel the Holy Spirit just now, and I sure do. He said, wow, boy, listen to me. He said, you do it. You keep asking me to do something that I've given you the power to do. What more do you want from me? I gave you Jesus. I let him live all them years. Die, get up. He talked to you the whole time while he was here. Die, get up. Then I tagged him. I did a relay race because I didn't let him come up and intercede for you without sending you a comforter, which name is the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter, name of the Lord. Then we got grace and we got mercy. We don't get what we really do deserve to get. And we got grace and mercy and faith and love and all these different, then the fruits of the Spirit, then the gifts. Yes. He gave you a gift of some apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists, teachers. Yes. He gave us all these different things. What more do you want me to do? God, tell him stop. God, tell him stop tormenting me. Tell him leave. You do it. You have the power. Why I got to do it if you? I gave you the power to do it? What are you talking about? He went and spoke to them demons. The demons got quiet. Couldn't say nothing. Had to leave out of there. You do it. God told him, you do it. That's the scripture. He said, watch how many times you see you in there. All right, they all excited, verse 22, because, you know, verse 21, in the morning they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, right? Then they were so caught on it. Verse 21, Peter called and remembers, Master, behold, the fig tree you cursed, withered away. Look at it, like Jesus ain't know it was going to be like that already, right? And Jesus said, and I believe he said it in the most sarcastic tone he could have said it in, Peter, have faith. Wow. Have faith in God. Have faith. Peter, what you thought when I said it wasn't going to work? He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God in me. Have faith in the God in me. Have faith that what I say is going to work. You didn't see it before? Have faith. Have faith in God. Y'all see that? Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now whosoever shall talking about, there's a bunch of people now, right? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, what happens? Whatever they say. You know you're getting whatever you say regardless, right? You know that stuff that you got that you don't like in your life, you're getting whatever you said. Every word is a seed. Whoa. And, you know, the tricky thing about a seed, the enemy fools you to get you talk all outside of your mouth. You know, he don't have no creation. He don't have anything. The only thing he got to use is your faith against you. It's like take the gun and he turned it back into your own head. He doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any anointing. The enemy, you know, talking about supernatural power, the enemy doesn't have a wicked anointing. Ain't no such thing. Can we understand who he is for a minute? He's a con artist. He's a sleight of hand. He takes your faith and turns your faith against you and blows your head up with your own stuff. And then he shoots you with your own bullets and then tell you why you shot yourself. The tricky thing about a seed is a great thing, but the enemy tries to play the same thing on his side. So what happens is you start talking out your mouth all kind of ways and you're running your mouth all the time. And why the Bible says be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to anger. Shut up. Shut up! Stop talking so much. You ain't got that much to say. If it ain't the word, you ain't got that much to say. Because you know a fool by a lot of talking. Keep running your mouth. I pointed out the fool in that group. I got the one that I can get to because they keep running their mouth. You know, it's funny about we notice that the guy come in and he sit down and keep his mouth closed. He just don't never say nothing. You might be wondering a little bit, but you can't say he a fool because you don't even know.
That's right.
And when they come in and just be quiet and just stay silent for a while, you don't know what's going on. As soon as they open their mouth, that's a fool right there. And the enemy will use that against you. See, the funny thing about a seed is, now there's a mystery in the seed. See, the mystery in the seed is, wow. See, the mystery in the seed is this. You know, the Bible says you plant, and you sleep and rise, and they grow up, you don't know how. And they say, they start talking about how the bones grow in the womb. And you have no idea how that seed, there's a mystery in the seed. And the mystery is just so that the enemy don't know what's going on. He can't figure the seed out. But he's kind of been working some years, and so he knows that it's a seed, something going on. He know that when somebody say something happened. He know that. He know that. So now what he try to do is put all this stuff in your ears, put all these conversations in you, and get you to say something. And it's tricky about a seed because what happens is in 2015, something come up in your life, and it becomes a problem, and something just springs up. But it don't just spring up out of nowhere. Something sprung up, but it's something that you said in 2014. That then took that ground and stayed up in that ground that long, and now pow, here it is. Now you got to get a forklift. You got to get you got to get all kind of stuff and dig it on out and go down to the root now to try to tear the tree down. But that's that seed that you planted. Watching what you're saying. Watching how much talking you're doing. I see. Watch how much you putting out there. Some of us are running our mouths too much about a bunch of stuff that don't mean nothing. And that's why we got a bunch of stuff going on that ain't nothing in our lives. Because you're manifesting. You having what you say already. I'm gonna be quiet in the house tonight. I remember my pops came in and told me, he said, you know, he walked in as a video, he said, you know, every word you say is a seed. Every word you say is creating something. I said, well, this might have been my quietest day in the history of my life, boy. I started saying, I didn't want to say nothing. And shall not doubt in his heart. Well, that's kind of strong. That you ain't got no doubt. Oh, you ain't got no doubt. Oh, but only these go out by praying fasting. But you ain't got no doubt. But believe. We've been saying a lot of stuff in about the scriptures. About the scriptures, we ain't been getting nothing. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. You going to have them. Whatever you say. When you pray. Huh? See all I'm using there? Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto his mind, be thou removed, be thou cast, see, shall thou but believe in the heart that thou, that those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have what it shall. Therefore I say unto you. I'm talking to you right now. You can add whatever you say. James 1:22. Go quick. My clock running. Quick. James 1:22. I teach y'all something, man. But a lot of people don't want to do this. But this bears meditation. This message bears meditation. That bears for you to go back. I know you go back and listen to it again and try to pass the quiz, over the pass test. But it ain't about that. All right, if you do what you're supposed to do with it, it's gonna come like clockwork doing it. Can I help you? Right? If you stop trying to skirt by, wow, and just stop trying to, you know, it's the reasonable service. Like you're trying to fill the least requirements. No. Can you take it in? We're not here to pass our tests. That's not what the school is about. We wanted to give you tests. I don't feel like making no tests all day long. I'm trying to get you to change. We're trying to raise up to another level. Meditation and time. You have no time for nothing else. You have no time for these shows and these other things. It's not telling you what the Lord is telling you to do. You have no, how dedicated are, what do you want? James 1:22, read it. Deceiving who? Deceiving who? Your own self. That means you. Come on, keep reading. Verse 23. Keep going. Straightway. You just looked in the mirror. You just looked in the mirror. You just finished looking in the mirror, and now you forgot what you look like? I just told you your name. Now you can't answer to your name? You just looked in the mirror. Now you forgot what color you wearing. That sounds foolish, don't it? You know what color you're wearing right now, huh? God, dog, you ain't need a mirror. You can look down at your clothes and see what color you're wearing. You can look down and see what kind of man or man you are. You can look down. I can look down to see I'm a black man. Goodness. But be ye a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. Could it be that because we don't do the word as far as extensive as we should, that we've deceived ourselves? The enemy. So, so it wasn't the enemy deceiving you, deceived your, because he can't just deceive you on his own. He's got to use you to deceive you. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, verse 25, and does what? Continue. Being not a what? But a doer of the work, this man. Close my case. It's Baz meditation. You're going to have to say it. For the sick to be raised up and sick be healed, you're going to have to lay hands on them. You got to do it. For the curse to be broken in your family, you're going to have to say something to break the curse. The Bible talks about the strong man, but when the stronger than he comes and he bind the strong man. Huh? You're the stronger man. That's another message. You're the stronger one. But you got to do something. Mm-hmm.